This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey guys, welcome to episode 314 with Matthew Ramsey of Old Dominion. Talks about the origin of the band, his career before music. It's a really good interview. He drove over in his pretty normal truck.
Yeah.
Still pretty normal guy, considering all the massive success he's had. He doesn't seem that rich, but he is. I mean, you can't write all those songs and not be... I mean, the guy's had so much success, but he just seems like a normal dude. I like him a lot. And we spent 45 minutes, 50 minutes or so talking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I told Mike, I was like, and I never know how long they're going to be. And I was like, this could be about a half hour or so. I knew he just had just gotten off the road and would be tired. But came in. I thought it was great.
Loved it.
So, okay. Here are the top five releases this week. At number five, Kanye West finally put out Donda. And this actually was out Sunday. Here's a new song called Jail. It's 27 tracks. A lot of tracks. And he even says the record label put it out without his permission.
He says.
I don't know what to believe. I think if that were the case, they would have done it earlier.
Yeah, they would have.
That's Jay-Z there. Made in the image of God. That's a selfie. I still love Kanye. You're never going to make me not love Kanye. I mean, I guess you would if you told me. but I love Kanye. Number four, Lauren Elena has a new album out called Sitting Pretty on Top of the World. Here's a new song called Here on Top of the World. Sitting pretty on top of the bar stool, throwing back beers, playing it cool, but I'm holding back tears. I'm drinking about you. Carrie Underwood and Dan and Shay released a new song from the Dear Evan Hansen soundtrack called Only Us. That's my third one. It's not so impossible. At number two, Cody Johnson has two new songs out. One's called Treasure, and here's a new one called Son of a Ramblin' Man. I'm a son of a ramblin' man, son of the running kind. I'm a son of... And new country trio Restless Road have a new song out called Headlights. Fun fact, Kane Brown signed them to his record label back in 2020. Funner fact, they sent me a bunch of shampoo like 3 days ago.
Really? For what?
I was at the Opry, and I went out and did something with them, and this one guy, maybe one of the singers, they're all singers, but maybe the lead singer, if there is one, has big, curly, fluffy hair, and I was just like, I got to touch it. And so they sent me some really expensive shampoo.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, here's Restless Road Headlights. I can get you out of my headlights. I see you every time I hop up in my steps. When it's midnight and that moon's high, see you. More new albums. Drake put out his sixth album, Certified Lover Boy. I've had no time to spend with any of it yet, have you?
No, not yet.
I was reading a thing that he has so many features on this one.
I haven't even looked at the track list.
Jay-Z, Young Thug, Future, 21 Savage, Lil Baby, Lil Durk. Not familiar with Lil Durk.
No.
The rest I know. Elton John has announced a star-studded collaborations album. What's pretty cool is Jimmy Allen's on that with Miley Cyrus, Stevie Nicks, Dua Lipa, Charlie Puth. Kacey Musgraves announces a new tour. She is hitting the road in support of her upcoming album, Star Crossed. It's 15 cities. Thought it'd be a little more than that, honestly.
Yeah, it's pretty short.
15 cities is a small tour, and you know she can sell. Old Dominion playing the SEC kickoff. If you hear this on Friday, that'll be tomorrow on Saturday. Justin Bieber is now Spotify's most streamed artist in a single month. He earned the record of 83 million streams in July. That's a lot. I mean, he's making so much money from streaming. He's making so much money from everything. Post Malone's teaming up with Jägermeister to help artists and venues that took a hit from the coronavirus. And I think that's it on the headlines. All right, here we go. Matt Ramsey from Old Dominion. It's a great talk. Enjoy this. All right, with Matthew Ramsey from Old Dominion. And I guess the question is, before we start this and like get in depth, like what do your friends call you? Is it Matt or Matthew? Like, what do you feel most comfortable
it's
being
both.
Called?
It's both. I've gone through my whole life with both. I mean, it's like...
If you meet someone, though, and they're like, hey, I'm Jim, you are?
I usually say Matthew, but, man, there's been people that it feels weird for them to call me Matthew, but like my family growing up, mom, dad, grandparents called me Matthew.
For example, Tom Threat.
Right.
If someone calls him Thomas, he knows they're not that close to him.
Right.
Because his name is not Thomas.
Yeah.
He's like, so the people that know me, he's like TR, Thomas Rhett, because that's what he was called as a kid. That's right. Not his last name.
Right.
He's like, so if they come up and they go, hey, Thomas, how are you? He's like, all right, I don't really know you. You don't really know me. We're doing it.
Sure. So have I told you the story about? So, I mean, I was Matt for a long time. My family was Matthew. They all call me Matthew. Matt was all my friends and everything. And then I was in Virginia, you know, recording music on my own and was putting out CDs and playing stuff. And I had a website. And
do you have a MySpace?
I had a MySpace, all that stuff. And then I started getting some messages from some people that were looking for a different Matt Ramsey who happened to be in the adult film.
He's a porn star named Matt Ramsey.
Yeah,
got
it. So, and people were like, I really like your music, but you're not the Matt Ramsey I was looking for. Just heads up. So I started then to delineate Matthew is just to set myself apart a little bit.
Does that Matt Ramsey still exist in a way that is still confusing?
It does. Well, no, it's not confusing. He actually has another name, a more famous name, but when he performs a certain type of pornography, he goes by Matt Ramsey. So
it's a fun fact.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Google him.
Yeah, you'll get some interesting images if you do. But
when you were in Virginia making music, about what year was that? When you were dedicated to music, but you were not in Nashville?
That was probably 2000.
And so you're 18, 19, 20 years old?
No.
23 years old?
I mean,
old?
Yeah. Probably 20. How old am I now? I'm actually 43. So
if that's the case, then why not move to Nashville then? Did you have a different career path in mind where you were going to do it from Virginia? Was it slightly different than what you've expected?
Yeah, well, I mean, I went to art school. I got a degree in illustration. And, those are two. I was passionate. I am still passionate about both things. And I kind of got to the end of college and thought, I can't half-ass both of these things. I need to focus on one. And music wound up being the thing I chose. So then I sort of did, you know, I made like a self-funded, you know, CD and just got to the point where I felt like I had exhausted everything in that area and played everywhere I could and, you know, made my money back on my CD and it was time to take another step.
Going into art school, what was that plan? Let's say the music thing didn't work out. Or you were at the crossroads and you didn't choose music. I think that's the better question.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what was the plan with the illustration? What was the career outlook there?
I mean, I started to realize on my senior year when you're kind of just doing all these independent studies and things, and you start to realize that all your professors are starting to view you as their competition. So you start to see like, well, I'm going to be able to maybe teach or, you know, pick up some, you know, magazine illustrations or...
Like, is that drawing? I mean, talk to me like a dumb guy because that's what I am.
Yeah, it's all of it. Painting, drawing, printmaking, stuff like that, so...
painting a picture on a canvas?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do that?
Yeah.
You're a good artist like that?
Yeah. Huh. I'm pretty, I can hold my own. Yeah.
Do you do that for fun at all?
I just painted recently a picture, for the first time in a while, which was very therapeutic, and I want to do it more. I posted a little thing on my own Instagram of it, but it's gone now. But
like if I was naked,
I took several years of figure drawing classes where someone would come in and
we had those in college.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd be like $50 if you go stand naked. Yeah. And I was broke, but I wasn't that broke.
Right. I always thought about those people like, man, you must need this money.
I thought about it in the same way, in two ways. Either I was envious of the fact that they had no inhibition at all.
Right.
That they would go, hey, whatever. If people need to draw something, I'll show my wiener.
Right.
I was so embarrassed and I'm still so embarrassed of my wiener that I just wouldn't. We had a bit on the show one. And I mean, I'm a quarter joking, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're laughing, so I guess I got to be like, I'm joking. But we had a thing. This is when we were in Austin and I was pretty early in my career. I just started to build my syndication company. We were doing mostly pop and hip-hop stations. And we were, you know, at the time, I was a wild and crazy guy. Now I'm just a guy that gets in trouble because I say things sometimes that the industry doesn't want me to say. But then I was just being an idiot for no other reason than just being an idiot. And so we did a bit where we had an artist come in and the loser had to get naked and be drawn. And I lost.
Ooh.
And I had to sit in a room, like a closet, and I remember him eyeball for no other reason than just drawing it the right. He had to eyeball my dong.
Yeah. So you did. You did it, huh? Wow.
What I avoided for years, did it in a radio segment.
Wow. Well, I mean, you faced your fear though, so that's good, right?
So would you do that to me if I says like I would like to pose nude and have you draw a picture?
I don't think I could do that.
That's pretty cool though, that like because that an artist musically you write, you perform. Like it's more of a 360 thing when it comes to art with you.
It was just that side of my brain is the one that's active. So.
You have an analytical side?
You know, I mean, I can, but, you know, I'm not like into math and stuff like that. But.
Dave Haywood is a guy who I'm friends with who is, I mean, creative, but also extremely linear as well.
Right.
He's able to, I sometimes can't do it. I can't balance both at the same time. Right, right. He's a guy who's exceptional at that. In your band, because everybody kind of has roles in Old Dominion, like, what is your role creatively in that group?
Creatively? I mean, it's tough because that's what makes it really hard to be in this band sometimes is everyone is extremely creative. So, you know, anymore, I would say that it's kind of evolved and I've recently learned, especially in this last album, in the process of making it, that my role is not necessarily in the tracking room while we're recording. It's in the control room with our producer Shane, and I'm a better guide in that way, and I'm a strong writer, I think, too. So I think I have a strong voice in the writing of our songs, but everyone does. Everyone is so talented.
Do you have to submit?
Frustrating.
and is it you were using the word frustrating? Do you have to submit yourself a bit when you go to record an album? Because when you write it and you make, you know, your work tape or your demo, and you can get demoitis and want it to sound like that.
Sure.
But then Shane comes in, Shane McAnally, who obviously is the best at what he does.
Yeah,
I don't think you would have a problem with saying he's better at being a producer than you are.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For
okay.
sure.
I want to make sure we're cool there.
Yeah.
and if he's like, hey, this is how I see it. Like, I really am passionate about this. Do you ever have to submit and go like, you know what? You know what you're doing, and I only kind of know what I'm doing, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah, definitely. But we have a close enough relationship that we'll go down that road. If we're not fully believing in it and I'm not fully believing in it, but he strongly is, we'll go down that road for however long it takes until we see it or we go, you're wrong. And he's great at going, okay, thanks for trying. And we do the same thing. He'll listen to us and our ideas. And, you know, if we are feeling it one way, he'll say, I trust you guys. Let's go down that road until he either sees it or doesn't.
It seems, this is just my memory years later, that he was involved really early with you guys.
Yeah, he was, you know, we were writing music with him, songs, before he had any success. So I think when I met him, he had just gotten Leanne Womack song recorded. It was his first one. And, you know, we were all just broke. You know, I think he had just, like, moved out of his car into a house, you know. So, yeah, he's been around for us for since the beginning.
I want to go back to in Virginia. The first instrument you pick up, is it the drums?
It was the drums, yeah.
Why the drums?
I had an older brother, and he's 4 years older than me, and he had a friend who was a drummer, and it just enamored me. He would come over to our house and set his drum kit up, and I would sneak down there and look at it. And then he played like a drum solo at the middle school talent show or whatever. It blew the whole place's mind, and I just saw how that affected everyone. And so I just was drawn to banging on stuff.
Were there bands that you listened to and drummed along with and you liked the most as a 14, 15-year-old kid where you thought, all right, if I'm going to do this?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, it was starting to get into a lot of grunge.
I mean, for me, when I first learned how to play guitar, it was Chili Peppers.
Right.
And it was Metallica because they had some really easy intros.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. So I had, at that point, once I started really digging in and playing along to music, my parents had a basement and I had a drum kit down there and I had guitar amps and guitars and it was kind of like split even then. I had half of the basement was art supplies and canvases and things, and half of it was musical instruments. So I would just kind of live down in the basement and play along to mostly things like Pearl Jam and Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins and stuff like that.
I'm going to ask this question, and I'm being as respectful as I possibly can with this question, because what happened to me may have happened to you, but being an art kid and a music kid, did you get beat up a lot?
I never got beat up, but I definitely, I got tugged on a little bit, you know. I've never really talked about this ever, but I actually ended up getting plastic surgery on my ears because they were yanked on quite a bit. And they were like, you know, I always think about this. It must have been really bad, because I kind of don't think about it that much, but it must have been really bad for me to beg my parents to fix this problem and for them to go through with it. Because, I have kids, and I know if my kid in the sixth grade was begging, you know, me to physically change them because of what people were doing, it must have been heartbreaking for my parents. And I know it was tough for me. So,
right.
So they did. So for a while there, yes, I went through some, you know, some harder, you know, punishments there.
I suffered similar,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Consequences for not being a, you know, finger quotes, normal kid.
Right.
But you're a lot cooler than I am. That's why I asked because you're a lot cooler and you're a lot more talented.
No.
So I'm like, did you like break the mold where they were like, he's so talented, let's just celebrate him.
I mean, I did wind up, once I got into high school, I was kind of friends with everybody. You know, I was friends with the athletes and I was also in the marching band. So, you know, I kind of made peace with everyone. So
when did you transition from being the percussion guy to kind of go on, all right, I don't even really want to do that much anymore. Like, I want to play guitar.
Yeah. Well, my first band was born out of the marching band because the whole drum line, we were such good friends. And we all wanted to be in a band, but we were all drummers. And so it was, you know, one guy going, well, I have a guitar. And another guy saying, I have the drum kit. And I was like, well, I can find a bass. I'll borrow a bass. I borrowed a bass from somebody. So it was just, we wanted to play music, but the only thing we knew how to play was drums. So we just kind of learned together and, you know, just by ear figuring out that. So then once I started figuring out things on the bass, and I had a piano that I would, you know, kind of mess around with, and a guitar that my uncle had given me, and my dad was like, you're really good at figuring things out. You should pick up that guitar and try that. So then once I picked that up, didn't know how to play it. So that's when I immediately started writing stuff so that I could play what I was writing.
Was music natural to you? Even though it was hard?
Yes, it was natural to me. It was
wild.
Very, yeah.
For you to be able to play A, E, G, C, E minor, you know, all the ones that you can.
Yeah.
Let me be honest, all the ones I play. For you to play.
It's all I play. Yeah.
Like, how quickly were you able to adapt and actually play, you know, those main chords with your guys?
I mean, pretty quickly. You know, it didn't take very long before we were all writing songs together, as a band, you know, they all sounded like Pearl Jam ripoffs, but you know.
But didn't everyone?
But yeah,
it wasn't at all
at that point. Yeah.
Okay, so you go to school. You're going to do graphic art, illustration.
Yeah,
I'm messing that up. So
no, it's okay.
Yeah. You're also playing music. I would understand that 99 people out of 100 are going to make more money doing that graphic art job because they can probably get work.
Maybe. I think it depends on not necessarily in the field that I was headed towards. It was kind of equal to music, I think, because I wasn't interested in sitting at a computer and coming up with like graphic design. I'm more tactile and would rather get my hands in paint or sculpt or, you know, so and at that point I have a couple of friends that are classmates that are successful artists now. And it's been the same road, you know, it's just been grinding it out and keeping their head down and painting and painting and painting and painting until they finally, we all at the same age, they're having success as artists and I'm having success in music.
You're playing music. Are you playing by yourself? When you dedicate your life to it now as a craft to pay your, and what other job are you doing?
Every job I possibly could. I've worked, everything. I worked at a recycling plant.
In Virginia.
I worked at landscaping companies, at sign companies, and then moved to Nashville and worked for a moving company. And I worked first year I was here. I worked, I think, probably 7 different jobs in the first year, just trying to keep my bills paid and then write at night and play.
Yeah,
music
that's what I was going to ask, because there is writing at night. But for the most part, any of my friends who are established writers don't write at night.
Not anymore, no.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so when you're a young guy, I'm assuming there are other just hungry people that will write anytime and you're working all day and you're just like, hey, let's just try to write at 8 o'clock tonight.
Have to, yeah. If you're gonna pay your bills, you got to do that. And then you got to write in your free time. So, I mean, I even had I wish I still had them. I had a job where I worked at a stained glass place. This was still in Virginia. And I would... You know, they had the old school time punch cards.
Mm-hmm. Had those at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, yeah. And you would. I had them sitting there, and I would write songs on the time punch cards while I was working. I would be writing those songs on the time punches. So you have to write every possible moment.
Did you feel like you were a good writer though before people told you were a good writer?
I think. Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. I think you're always questioning whether or not you are a good writer, even at this point. You know, you're like, do I know how to do this anymore? So I think there's a certain amount of, at that point, early on, arrogance that you have to have, for sure.
For sure. To do something, and I say this all the time, for me to think somebody's going to pay $50 to come watch me do comedy, I better think I'm pretty dang good.
Right.
You have to have an ego about
for
it.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then you got to have humility at the same time. So you got to be able to look back and realize why it wasn't working then. So I think if you can do that, you can keep growing. But I think when I first started, I was really writing because I really needed to. I really was expressing things that I had no other way to express. So it wasn't about being good. It was about getting some feelings out and working through things in a way that I could only figure out how.
So, I mean, spinoff questions come from the things that you say. I guess the first one is, you're working full-time doing things other than what you would like to do full-time, which is be creative.
Right.
What was the first mini break you had that didn't make you have to go work at the plant or the restaurant?
Well, in Virginia, the first thing I did, I was working at this stained glass company, and then I was making enough money playing, you know, gigs that I was booking myself that I could go part-time.
Like regionally? So you'd book and you'd drive a couple hours if you needed to, or locally?
Yeah, I would play all the surrounding, basically the whole state of Virginia. And I made enough money there for about a year that I could work part-time. And luckily they were supportive of me and let me do that. And then moved to Nashville, and it took probably... I don't know, for a good 5-6 years before I got a publishing deal with Phil Vassar, who allowed me to stop working. And
so let me get this straight. Just so our listeners, they see the massive success of Old Dominion right now.
Yeah.
Just and everything you guys put out is it seemingly the world is your oyster musically.
Right.
For 5 or 6 years, you're talking about 5 times 365 days, you worked.
Well, yeah, and I still worked when I had that publishing deal. I still had to find other means of income, but it did loosen it lessened the pressure a little bit. And it still was on. I still went through that whole publishing deal without getting any song recorded or anything. So it gave me a little money, but that was it.
Is there a guilt that you have? Because I've experienced this when people have signed me to certain projects that didn't do as well as I had hoped. Is there a guilt that you would have in a publishing deal where nothing got recorded or cut?
Guilty that they were paying me? No. No, because that's a risk they assume. You know, if I signed a writer, I would sign them expecting nothing to happen in the first like few years, at least. You know, it's really just about learning at that point. So that's all I was trying to do, was learn. And I was very upfront about that. And with any publisher that signed me, was I'm just trying to learn how to write better. And most of them see that. They see a glimmer of talent. Most of the song sucks, but maybe there's one line in there that gives them some hope, and they can give you a little bit of money to keep going. So I never really felt guilty about that. I mean, especially like I was saying earlier, I can go back and listen to those songs and go, I see why. At the time you were like, these are great. Why is no one recording them? They're not great. I had a lot of growing to do for sure.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So you're writing, and you start to just write songs for a living. What was the first writer, we'll say break that you earned. What was your first break there where you go, okay, I'm not just now treading water. Like, I might be able to have some real success at this.
Yeah. First sign of hope was a guy named Steve Holy. recorded a song that Trevor and I wrote with our friend Matt Jenkins. And then really it was watching my friends have some success was really what gave you the real hope.
Is that because you knew that you could do what they do?
Well, I was doing what they were doing. I mean, we were doing it all together. So it was like Shane, for instance, he came in and played. I remember he played us the demo for Somewhere With You. And
Kenny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were just like, damn, like that's different. That whatever that is the next step. And even though we weren't writers on it, we knew that was going to change the game for all of us. And even now when we watch Kenny play it, like we sit there and go, none of us would be here without that song, because he wrote that, Kenny cut it. It changed Kenny's career. And because of that, me and Josh Osborne and Trevor Rosen and Matt Jenkins and Brandy Clark, and you know, we're all in that writer circle, and we get to reap the benefits really of that exposure. So watching our each other succeed was really what kept us going. We were like, it's not like I'm doing it, but we're doing it, you know.
What about first success for you where a song actually got a single, like a real life, it's got a chance single?
That was Wake Up Loving You by Craig Morgan. So that was the first one. I can't remember how high it went on the chart, if it was top 10 or not, but it was close, which was, you know, that's back then, that's all you want is like, you want top 20. And then you get that and you're like,
do you watch
top 10?
Since it was your first, are you watching the charts every
back
week?
Then for sure. Yeah. Watching it all the time. I don't watch anymore, but
when you hear that at the beginning, the first time you hear it actually cut, are you like, I like what they did with that production? Or
that was my alarm clock, actually.
It really was.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. I did that on the demo. I made a little home demo of it with that alarm clock. There it is. And then everyone who cut it after that, a couple of artists cut it. Everyone used that alarm clock. Then it's just my alarm clock.
A couple cut it, but they didn't put it on a record.
I think Keith Anderson cut it. And I think it made a record for him, but it wasn't a single.
So then what's the rule there? Because Eric Paisley, who I'm buddies with, he wrote Friday Night, I think Friday Night's song I'm thinking of. Lady A cut it, put it on the record.
Yeah, yeah.
He then said, well, you didn't use it as a single. I want to use it as a single. Went number one for him.
Right.
I want to be your Friday.
Yeah.
Is there a rule that if it doesn't go as a single, you can still probably cut it somewhere else?
Sure, sure. I mean, once it is out, once somebody cuts it, anybody can cut it. So you can put it out as a single anytime.
Don't you have to ask for single rights, though?
No, only one. Oh, I don't think so, no. I mean, you do that one time. You give the license out one time. And once you approve it, it's fair game.
So you're telling me I could cut I Was on a Boat.
Yeah.
Put it out as a single.
Yeah.
And then once it beat You Guys as the best streaming song,
yeah,
that's just life.
Yeah, but we reap the benefits of that, so.
Yeah, but so do I.
Yeah, well, good for us all.
Well, looks like we all win that. Okay, nice. First number one song that you wrote?
Say You Do for Dierks Bentley.
And was that a rocket ship number one? Or was that we don't know if he's going to cut it, he did cut it, we don't know if it's going to be on the record, we don't know.
All of them are like that, I feel like. That one was, you know, talking about breakthroughs and stuff. That as far as writing that song, that was one that I was sure was something special.
Really? You knew when you wrote it?
Yeah. So
was there any chance you were keeping these songs? Because Old Dominion was maybe...
We were a band at that point.
Were you signed?
No. So even like Wake Up Loving You was our like show closer, man. Like to let Craig Morgan have that song was a really tough decision, because at that point, it started to feel like maybe we were so far away from getting signed, but it felt like maybe we were going to. So it was tough to kind of let that one go. Say You Do wasn't tough for us because we did play that song at every show. But at that point, man, you know, we're just trying to pay the bills and we moved here to be songwriters anyway. That's what we wanted. So it was awesome. And he did an incredible job. There was a moment where I was going to sing background vocals on it, but it didn't pan out. And, man, it was just an exhilarating feeling to hear that song and watch that song climb to get your first number one. Amazing.
This Chainsaw from the band Perry wrote this one.
Yeah.
Here's the one. Was it written as aggressive?
It's way more aggressive. Our version is way more aggressive. This one is the light version of it. So my dad actually made a comment one time about, he was like, man, your version is like, you know, I can kind of picture you out in the woods, like with like frozen snot in your beard cutting down the tree. It's definitely a lot more aggressive, our version.
Before we get over to the Old Dominion stuff, Ecstasy from Sam Hunt is probably, in my opinion, his biggest non-single song.
Yeah.
It wasn't a single, but everybody knows it.
Right. I wish that was a single.
To me, I kind of had to be reminded it wasn't a single.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm a big Sam guy. I like Sam away from work. You know,
yeah.
I love Sam
at
work. You know, so, but I love this song. When he cuts it, again, he cut it though, if I'm not mistaken. This was on the pre...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
And Sam wasn't Sam Hunt.
Right.
But did you, when you guys wrote it, was it written like, wow, this is different? Like, this is some like new territory type stuff?
I mean, we knew before everyone knew that it was, you know, Sam Hunt. Like, writing with that guy, you're like, damn, this guy is something entirely different.
Different, so, in what means? Like,
just his creative mind is he attacks things at different angles. So the things that come out of his mouth, you're like, I don't know how you thought of that. But, you know, even like with Make You Miss Me, he throws out a line like, keep a Slipknot in the strings you attach. Like some obscure thought like that he can make seem very palatable. So just writing with him, that was a moment where you knew something was big was going to happen. So that song, it's funny. Like he overthinks a lot of things. And to his credit, it works, you know. But he, like most people, you sit in the room and you write, and at the end of the day, you got the song. You can write for weeks and weeks and weeks on the same song with Sam. So that's what happened. I never really knew the final version of Ecstasy until it came out. Like, I knew what I thought it was going to be.
Were there other little changes that you heard in it that you're like, well, I don't remember that at all?
Oh, yeah. That whole, like, talking part at the end, there's like a whole, like, kind of down bridge where he's kind of talking, saying you look kind of cute and all this stuff. I didn't remember any of that stuff, but I mean, it's amazing.
Were you surprised to see the explosion
of him?
Yeah.
Nah. I mean,
I'm excited. I mean, I'm surprised to see any explosion of anybody, right?
Yeah.
Because it's always so unpredictable of who it's going to be, when it's going to be, and why it's going to be.
Yeah.
And with Sam, it hits so hard, so fast. And I feel like Sam is the most reluctant superstar that I've ever known.
For sure.
And when people are kind of bagging on him, I'm like, well, first of all, he's way smarter, way more talented than you. And he doesn't, listen, he loves to be an artist, but he didn't want to be the guy out.
Well, and people forget because everything now sounds like Sam Hunt. So it didn't then. Like,
right.
He changed it. And everything on country radio, half of it is just watered down Sam Hunt. So,
I agree. Kenny, save it for a rainy day. Have this hook up here. When you write a song like this, how quickly do you send it to Kenny?
This one, you never, like, I didn't know Kenny at that point. And you never, ever write aiming at a certain artist. But this song has the, like, quickest journey ever, but a huge journey. But we used to write, Brad and I and our late friend Andrew Dorf used to write every morning at 9 in the, not every morning, every week at 9 in the morning. So we would have double booked ourselves. We would write from 9 to 11. And then we would go to our normal write. So that morning, I didn't have any ideas, but in the shower on the way or getting ready to go there, that kind of chorus popped into my head. So I showed up and I was like, hey, what about this? And they were like, yeah. And we wrote that song in 45 minutes. And at that time, Brad was making little home demos. And I kept kind of egging him on, like, dude, you got to make a demo. And I was joking. I was like, man, you want a Kenny Chesney cut or not? Like, make the demo. So he was like, okay. And he made the demo. And sure enough, like, we got it right to him. And he picked it up. Like, it never happens like that. But That's the only time that's ever happened. And then he went and recorded it, and the studio musicians told us they only did one take of it. They played it, and they moved on. So they thought, no way that's ever making it. So we wrote it in 45 minutes. They did one take of the recording session, and then it becomes a three-week number one song. So pretty crazy.
When did your mindset change? And okay, I'm an artist. And you're always a songwriter.
Yeah.
But now, like, I'm the guy, and we're the guys where we're looking out for us first, because if we don't, nobody else is going to.
Yeah.
What, 2013, 14?
No, I think it was hard, man, to even throughout the whole first album, which was, you know, 2014, 15-ish, was hard for us to turn that songwriter switch off and hold on to Song for Another Time. We pitched that to Kenny. Like, at that point, we were still trying to, we didn't know if this was going to work,
right,
but we knew we were successful songwriters. So, I mean, honestly, probably for me, not until the last album with like Make It Sweet and One Man Band and all that stuff was when I finally felt like we as a band were confident in ourselves and were able to, like, you know, kind of live in our own skin.
How do you form a band? Five people, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, there's five of us.
How do you form a band? I know how to form a band, but how do you form the band when you've been in town a long time? All you guys weren't writing. It didn't seem like, when I look back at
that. No, but I mean, so Whit, you know, Whit and I went to middle school together and we're in competing drum lines together. And then he was in a band with Jeff all through college. And Brad was at the same college. They were all taking classes together and playing music together. And then I was going and opening for their band. This is just my guys that I've known for forever, since we were kids. So those are the people that I always played music with. So it wasn't very hard to, like, we moved down to Nashville sort of one by one. They were still in a band. I was calling them, trying to get them to move down here because I was such a fan of them. I knew they could come down here and crush it. Then they broke up, moved down one by one, and the other members of that band did too. They're, one of them is in Taylor Swift's band. There's another guy in Taylor Swift's band from the same group. And one of them plays on every country. He plays on all Sam's stuff. He plays on Dustin Lynch's music. And so everyone just moved down. I was right. They were super successful. But, you know, when I'm looking for someone to come play the songs I'm writing, I'm going to call my buddies that I've always played music with.
So. And I guess that was my question. You know, do you come to Nashville, the land of the Giants, and cherry pick the Giants? Or do what you did and you grabbed your guys who were also really great, but they were your guys first?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you don't have access to the Giants. You can't cherry pick them because the people at the top are cherry picking them. So you got to make do. You know, you got to call your buddies that will play for nothing because you can't give them any money. So, you know, you just got to roll with what you got.
All five of you guys, were all five of you in the official, like, start of Old Dominion?
Brad was not. The guy I was mentioning, his name's Devin Malone, he's a studio musician here in town, was at the time the original guitar player. And then, you know, at that point we weren't making any money, but we were touring like we were, you know, we were just losing our asses. But, and he started to be asked to play on the road and in the studio with some other artists, and he's paying his bills. And, you know, it was to the point where he couldn't make a bunch and Brad started subbing for him a bunch. So the time came where it was like, hey man, are you into this or not? And he was like, I don't think I can do it, man. So he left and Brad was the guy.
Was Brad already making money as a songwriter?
No.
So it was still early on that front for him too.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just starting to get into the songwriting world and kind of make some noise.
How did you guys all get so, you're like the elite songwriters out of Old Dominion. Let's just remove the band Old Dominion.
Right.
Like, you legitimately have elite songwriters in your band yourself.
Yeah.
That didn't get together because of your elite songwriting success.
No, but, you know, I mean, Trevor and I got together because of songwriting, not because of the success, but because he and I hit it off as co-writers and friends. So we knew we had something. And then we just kind of built it from there. Same thing with Brad. You know, Brad, we had a sort of friendship. We knew him, but we also knew he was extremely talented, but then we write with them and we're like, oh, this guy's kind of got the same thing that we have. So, you know, it's just about finding your people. And luckily, our people were our friends.
Are you able to switch off frontman of of my favorite band, of probably the biggest band in country music right now? Are you able to switch that to dad, husband, like that?
No. No, it's been a, you know, that's hard. That's been, you know, quite honestly, a challenge. So it takes some therapy and some work to figure that out. I was kind of stupid, thinking about working on this the whole time. I never thought about being like famous or like a rock star or anything. I always thought about songs and music and that being known, but I didn't think about people wanting to know about me, and that freaked me out, honestly. So kind of the beginning of it, the first few years, was kind of a mess of trying to figure out how to handle that.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Do you like that part of it? Do you like being the lead singer of Old Dominion?
I have learned to. I didn't at first, but I do now. I've been able to kind of switch it in my brain and realize that I'm kind of in the service industry now. You know, like it's not about me. It's about serving other people. I can visibly see what we are doing is affecting and helping other people. So when I can remember that, I absolutely love it. Like there's nothing better than going out there, realizing that something you created from an emotion or just a grouping of words, it has a really big effect on people. Then by all means, I would not want to be doing anything else.
Can you guys do 5 tour buses for all 5 members?
We cannot. That's expensive.
Yes. But you got, and I ask that now because, again, in the last pandemic year, it's weird to quantify. But like, you guys you're the elite now. right? You also became very elite at a time when there was no money going around, right, too, which is an odd thing because here you are dominating and you can't really capitalize on
right
what the success that you've had.
Totally.
So no 5 buses yet. What do we got, 3?
I mean, we're all on the same bus, so.
Okay, we got to listen. I'll be your business manager. It's time to get at least another bus here.
Our business manager right now is like, what? What? No, one bus, please. But I mean, I think we're on 3 buses total with our crew and everything. Yeah. But there's 6 of us on our bus, so it's the 5 of us and our tour manager.
It is a weird dynamic, and I'll speak from experience too, because I've had the guys on my show for the most part for 10, 12, 13, 15 years. Yeah. Like, I just grabbed my people that had never done that before and was right, like, let's go along for the ride together. Trust me, I got you. And then at times they've had to have me too. But there is always weird interpersonal dynamics because everybody's still so different living human lives or growing up too.
Sure.
On our show, I mean, we got people, me getting married, you got people having extra kids, you got, with 5 people, it just, like, I'm dealing with that.
Sure.
With 5 people, you guys have adulted quite a bit together.
Yeah.
Do you do any sort of therapy as
a group? We just got asked that by someone else. And no, we haven't done that. I mean, it would probably be helpful, I think, but we haven't gotten to the point where I don't think we need it.
Do you vote?
We do vote.
Yeah.
We had, like, right in the beginning, we sat down with an attorney, and he was like, okay, we're going to come up with the system here of voting. And we were like, we're never going to need that. And it was literally like the next week we needed it.
I want to play just a clip of I Was on a Boat That Day, which is number 10 right now as we're recording this. And I was letting the sun and the rum just do what it does. I threw my phone in the water. This song of all the Old Dominion songs seems, I won't say the most fun, has maybe the most there's a different feel to it. You have other fun songs, but this one feels purposefully a little more like, hey, we're just putting out a song to freaking have fun.
Yeah.
Like a little goofy even.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Does that happen in conversation? Like, guys, we've done the deep songs. Like, why don't we just put one out that makes us go, screw it, man. We're just having fun.
Well, I think we weren't thinking about that when we were writing it, but once we had written it, it felt that for that reason. It was like, you know, coming out of pandemic and all this stuff. It was just like, man, let's just not even worry about it. Let's just put a fun song out. Let's in the groove, you know, that shuffle. It doesn't matter. People dance. If they don't know it, they dance to that beat no matter what song it is. So it just felt like, man, we had so much fun recording that song. Let's just keep that party going because, you know, there's no need to. We pride ourselves on the happy, sad mix,
easier to do a song like that when you have the cred of success of really deep, substantive songs.
Yeah.
You know, if you're putting out a bunch of songs like that, people are like, okay, well, they're the goofy band. But no one's going to take you for the goofy band.
Right. But we are, you know, inherently goofy people. Like, we're goofy friends with each other, and we laugh constantly all day long. So that is a big part of us. So, you know, it's. I'm glad it's finally showing.
New album on the 8th of next. What number are we? Are we in month 10th yet?
We're in 9.
We're in 9 now?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the pandemic's also eliminated any ability to know the number of months.
It's impossible.
October would be 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
October 8th, Time, Tequila, and Therapy. Why that title? I'm sure you guys kind of messed around with a few different titles. Why those words?
Yeah, well, those are lyrics from one of the songs. And we, you know, bounced around a bunch of different titles for a long time. And finally, that came out. And when it did, it was the first time we all 5 immediately went, that's it, we know. And I think because, you know, that is, man, that's Old Dominion in a nutshell right there. We've been together for so long. There's so much time and history behind us. And, you know, tequila is a big part of our, you know, pre-show ritual. And, you know, we work with a tequila company and, you know, that's just kind of part of our culture. And therapy, there's been a lot of therapy in the past, you know, couple years between me and a couple other members, and we're learning a lot about ourselves, and you know, music itself is therapeutic, it just seemed like the perfect snapshot of what this whole album is.
Did you ever have the fear, because I did and struggled with it for a while, that going to therapy was going to make you have less of an edge? And I don't mean edge is like a bad boy, but I mean edge and creatively.
I think that thought crossed my mind some. Yeah. I learned pretty quickly that whatever, you know, I don't say demons or darkness or whatever, whatever you're carrying around, therapy isn't going to make go away. So I'm always going to have that stuff. I just maybe have the tools to deal with it a little bit better. So I can go back there and access that all I want as far as creativity goes. It's always going to be there, whether I want it to or not. I don't want it to be there, but, you know, I would trade all of that going away for, you know, I'm already successful, so I can say that.
I'll end on this, and being a touring musician is exhausting. Are you writing anything that's not maybe for you guys?
Yeah.
You will just write and go, maybe we'll send this off.
Yeah. I mean, we do that all the time. I mean, Brad just got, he's got the new Keith Urban, Wild Hearts with Eric Paisley. Yeah, and I think we hold on to them for a little longer, but for the most part, the chances even still of getting a song recorded by another artist are so slim. Even with our success, it's gotta, all the stars have to line up perfectly. And so at this point, we're just kind of like, yeah, send it to them. If they like it, great. Chances are they're not going to, and then it's still ours. So.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The question that I would have then is, if you're writing for the sake of writing, I would think artists would go, well, if Matt doesn't want to cut it, it's because he didn't think it's good enough for him.
Probably, yeah. I mean, and that's all we ever do is write for the sake of writing. We don't try to write an Old Dominion song even. We just write. But yeah, I think that probably is happening some. You know, I think... you know, there's been some talk about maybe recording demos without my vocal on them so that people don't hear it as Old Dominion, you know.
Yeah. Or I have a buddy who writes a different name at times.
Yeah.
For a similar reason.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want people to think that I'm only writing and not cutting them because I think they suck or not good enough for me.
Right. And it's just about whether or not it's right or not, you know. I mean, it's not like you're going to pitch a song you don't believe in. Like, I have plenty of bad songs that I would never let anyone hear. So if they're hearing the song, I believe in it, and I would cut it if it was the right song to cut. So maybe it is for the other artist.
I think we're gonna end it there. And listen, I was on a boat that day is gonna be a number one soon. I don't even need to promote anything. Actually, you've been generous with even coming here because you need no promotion. You guys just walk in. It's turnkey. You got hit after hit. I think candidly, I don't even like albums anymore. I don't have the patience for them.
I get it.
And I know that's not the comfortable thing to say in an artist community where people are still fighting. But I don't feel like I feel like I'm going to not get to experience certain songs because I don't have patience for them.
Sure.
And so I feel like I lose if somebody puts out an album. I'm getting to a compliment. Don't worry.
Right.
Hey, sit right there.
No, I'm with you, man.
I'm with you. I feel like I lose when someone puts out 13 songs because I don't invest enough time as much time as I should in all 13 songs.
Sure. You're most people.
I go through a couple times, and the ones I like, I swipe over and save. And it's not fair because I would like to give it all the songs time.
Yeah.
That being said, there's a compliment to me. Like, when you guys put out an album, it's every track.
Well, thank you.
And I don't say that to anybody. I would say that to Mayer, but then Mayer started doing smaller packs of songs.
Right. And we talked about that. We were going to kind of split this up. I think what the plan is for us instead is we write so much, we're just going to keep recording and make another one pretty quick, I think. But I think, you know, most people are like that. We like the music. We're just going to put it out. We have fans that will listen to it, and some people won't. We'll have a few singles that people know, and that's great. That's the same as any other album, you know. So
do a concept album. That's what I want from Old Dominion.
Concept.
Right. I don't even know what the concept. Wild West. Yeah. You know, I don't know what the concept is, but 1920.
That's where we need to bring Wit in. That's when his mind would be he would set the concept.
Like a cool Old Dominion concept album of about 8 tracks where you tell me a story. It's The Wall.
All right.
I just, like, one day, that's what, like, the announcement is Old Dominion's doing, it's about dinosaurs.
I like this.
Well, what dinosaurs? I'm here for this. Okay, listen, hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming by. I know you're doing a lot, so to spend a little time here, we appreciate it. You guys can follow Old Dominion Music on Instagram or MT Ramsey. That's Matt's private account. All right, I guess not private, public, but solo account.
Yeah, whichever one, yeah.
Yeah, the private account. Only I have.
That's the other Matt Ramsey.
Yeah, that's it. All right, thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.